This winter, keep your home warm and help lower your energy bills with Warmflow, the home heating experts. With an eco-friendly range of high-efficiency oil boilers and Zeno R290 air and ground source heat pumps, Warmflow provides home heating solutions designed to save you money while keeping you cozy, whatever the weather. Trusted for over 50 years, Warmflow delivers heating that works smarter, not harder. For all your home heating needs, visit warmflow.co.uk.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now, the European Union Copernicus Climate Change Service has confirmed that 2025 was the third warmest year on record. Global temperatures from the past 3 years averaged more than 1.5 degrees above the pre-industrial levels. So the world is certainly getting warmer, but it seems like action just isn't as urgent as it needs to be. So does the climate emergency have a real messaging problem now? Well, Barry McLaughlin of the Communication Clinics is on the line. And Barry, you and I will remember, and I'm sure we have discussed that sort of political time where there was a green wave across Europe. We saw it here in Ireland, and the climate and concerns around climate change were really at the top of the agenda, and that just isn't the case anymore.
Good evening, Ciara. Yeah, I think one of the things we have to be mindful of is that there's just so much information out at the moment in relation to climate. And if you look at this Copernicus report, one of the things it said, and the thing that the authors were very keen to point out, was that we're not likely to hit this 1.5% increase, limiting this increase by the end of 2030. In fact, we're going to exceed it. So the news was quite grim. And actually, if you look at the report and you look at it in some detail, there's actually some information there that would suggest that the reason they gathered this information and they gathered this data is to actually help governments, to help policymakers make better decisions. But of course, the coverage was about just how bad things are getting. The coverage was about we're unlikely to hit this arbitrary target we hit ourselves or we set ourselves. And the problem with that is that unless you actually treat this as a crisis, and what I mean by that is you don't just simply say, look, here is the problem. You're very clear on what the solutions need to be, and you don't make people fatalistic about what's actually going to happen. I think that's the big issue here, that government's job and policymakers' job as communicators is to show people what they can do to make a difference, show people the steps that they can take to make a difference in terms of trying to slow down the impacts of climate change and try and reduce our carbon footprint. That's the big issue, and I think that's the big concern. I think that communication needs to be absolutely relentless.
We've been inundated with data. You mentioned that Climate Change Service report. We've got temperature records, emission figures. We hear about deadlines being missed. We hear about Ireland being fined billions of euro because we're not going to meet our own climate targets at the end of this decade. Yet behaviour change remains slow. Do people actually respond to those facts, do you think, or do numbers alone fail to motivate?
Well, you see, the problem again, and the point we were making a moment ago, was that, you know, if you give people just data without any context, that can, you know, the data rolls over, people don't understand. There is this general assumption that things are unfixable. So let me give you just one simple example. If you were building a house in Ireland in the early 2000s, there was this tentative suggestion that, you know, the best thing to do would be to get a heat pump. The best thing to do would be certain types of insulation or whatever. But all of those things were completely out of ordinary people's reach. I mean, they were expensive. They were not things that people could actually afford. Now, if you look, the emphasis in recent years has been on not only renovating old houses, not only building houses to a high standard. We're going to give you money. We're going to give you support to do that. And time and time again, when you give people the means and the instruction to do something in a crisis, they will do it. So I'm old enough to remember when I read a headline in Time magazine in the early 90s, and the question was, will we burn or will we freeze? That was the stark headline. there was nothing in the article to suggest we could do anything about this, we could solve our own problems. And yet, if you look at, for example, in Ireland, our own emissions have gone down significantly in certain areas. Mm. There's been huge improvements in terms of things like transport. And we know there's huge investment in things like electrification of cars. We know Metrolink and things like that. So there's a huge emphasis on money put in that's only going to make a difference. And we have to remember, all of this was achieved while Ireland's population was growing. And we are a pretty wealthy, you know, industrial country. So these things can make a difference. But what you have to do, Ciara, is you have to give people very clear instructions and guidance as government and policymakers, what steps they can take, what changes they can make to make a difference.
Otherwise, okay, but you need more than that, don't you, is what you're saying. You need to have the carrot as well. You need to incentivize people to make the change.
Yeah, and an example, you see these grants in relation to houses and redevelopment and insulation, grants in relation to electric vehicles. You know, all of these things are putting the changes that need to happen within people's grasp. And again, if you do that and you give people the means by which to make those changes, you can make a difference rather than simply lecturing people and just telling people how much worse things are going to get.
I'm just looking at a text coming in here. Your contributor is 100%. Let's be honest, so many people are still confused as to what to put in the recycling bin. I mean, that is a basic. The message from the government is appalling. How can they not get that right with all the money they're spending on consultants, etc.? And that's what I worry about here, Barry, is that there was, I think, a period of time there where there was certain momentum behind this, where the government did have the public's attention, and they lost that, I think. How difficult will it be to get that attention again?
Well, I think it's always possible to get people's attention if you know what message you're giving to certain audiences. So I would know myself that if I look at my own family, the younger members of my family are naturally far more interested and worried about environmental issues, say, maybe, than people my age. And yet people older than me, maybe people who are grandparents, are worried about the world they're going to leave to their kids. So there is plenty of goodwill there. I think one of the things we have to look at is as well that people only have a certain amount of bandwidth at certain times. And we are in a cost of living crisis. People have been very concerned about making ends meet. And when somebody comes and tells you, you know, you need to be doing the recycling this way, or your price of your bottle of water is going up because we have to do the return system. Sometimes people, when they're under pressure, it's picking that moment and that particular point in time when you're actually going to bring about that change as well. But I think that one of the things that government can do is make very clear what progress has been made, what has been done, what differences the policies have made so far, and it remind people and encourage people that a lot of people making small changes will make a big difference.
And that's the importance of storytelling. You do often hear that when you're discussing what's effective communication.
Exactly. I mean, I'll give you a simple example. People might remember 2018, we had the Beast from the East. And you remember there was 4 or 5 feet of snow in some parts of the world, even higher. And yet later on that summer, we had one of the warmest and hottest and driest summers. And I remember that there was reading a report that talked about the statistical anomalies all these kind of technical jargon. And I remember listening to a farmer beside me saying to me, isn't it very strange? He said, it was in the middle of June. He said, 12 weeks ago, we had 4 feet of snow. Now we have got enough water for our cattle. And it's those little stories and those little points that will stick in people's heads long after data, long after evidence, long after simply raw information.
Okay, I just want to bring some more text to our listeners here. If your solution to a problem is tax, you're not serious about solving the problem. Crucifying people financially doesn't endear them to have positive view of climate change. Another texter says people want to own more and more and use more and more energy. People are greedy. It's not in our nature to reduce our living standards to save ourselves. When the collapse comes, people are going to get an awful shock. Okay, keep your texts coming in on that 087-1400-106. My thanks to Barry McLaughlin, Head of Client Engagement with the Communications Clinic.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul